It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. This show, Mind Your Business on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are in your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many industries and professions, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, retail, communications, entrepreneurship, financial planning, time management, marketing and advertising, and so many more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're certain to gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Special thank you to a number of people. Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, thank you. The team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, including Miriam, Srilli, Rina, and so many others who play such a critical role in the production of the show. And of course, the great team here at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, just to name a few of the stars here. Special thank you to them. Also, again, a special thank you to three guest hosts while I was out for Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, Bill O'Reilly, Jessica Proud, and Sylvia DiGisto. Thank you very much. They were great programs. In fact, one of them, Bill O'Reilly, interviewed one of the senior executives at Party City. But they all had great interviews, and it's all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. That is the website, which has all the information about the show and has all past guests. The interview we had with Sylvia DiGisto, we interviewed Jeffrey Hazlett, with so many others. I mean, this is we're on the air here for roughly a year and a half already. Every single week, these executives that we interview, it's all available, some of them as videos as well. And the easiest way to find them all, and the archives, and the iTunes, etc., it's all by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. If you follow me on social media, you'll always get the scoop at who my upcoming guests will be. On Twitter, I'm YSaftless, YSAFTLAS. LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Yitzhak Saftless, YITZCHOK SAFTLAS. Probably any way you spell it will be fine. I'm the only Yitzhak Saftless in America, as far as I know. So even if you're concerned about the spelling, no worries. You'll be just fine. Anyways, to our very, very special guest, Joanne Lublin. Joanne is the management news director at the Wall Street Journal. Joanne was one of the first female reporters at the Wall Street Journal and was the first woman to run the journal's London Bureau. In 2003, Joanne
was the deputy bureau chief.
Deputy. I apologize.
That's okay.
It's still very impressive. In 2003, you were part of a team that won the Pulitzer. That was very, obviously very impressive. Some stats about the Wall Street Journal, in case you had some of the listeners living under a rock. They've been around for nearly 130 years, 36 Pulitzer Prizes. In fact, in the Wall Street Journal has been ranked the most credible newspaper in every Pew report since 1985. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss women in the C-suite and how men and women communicate in the business setting, and how women can negotiate fair pay. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Joanne Lublin. Joanne, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
And thank you for having me.
Please. Too. It's an honor and a treat. Now, before we jump into, and I have so many fascinating questions about your new book, Earning It. Again, her new book, published by Harper. This is a Harper release, Earning It: Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World. Tell us, Joanne, a little bit about yourself. You're obviously in a very prominent position at the Wall Street Journal. What was your journey like?
Well, I joined the Wall Street Journal as my first job after getting a graduate degree at Stanford in journalism. I had been a summer intern at the Wall Street Journal between my junior and senior year of college. I worked in the Washington Bureau. And when I joined the Wall Street Journal in San Francisco, I was the first woman they had ever hired as a reporter. But it turned out that during World War II, when all the men went off to war, secretary there and some of the other bureaus got sort of shanghaied into doing some reporting assignments. But of course, when the boys came home, the women went back to being secretaries. So I joined a bureau where there were only male reporters and a bureau chief.
You know what's beautiful about this story? You started as an intern.
Right.
That's beautiful. Today, people get frustrated. They want it right away. They think, you know, it'll be like Mark Zuckerberg, you know, by 23. You know, there's a journey. There's a journey.
Well, not only is there a journey, but the journey is enjoyable. One learns something different, hopefully, every day of one's life. And then one applies those lessons to becoming a better human being.
So true. And by the way, I just wanted to make this, I don't know if it's a disclaimer or just statement at the beginning of the show. Joanne obviously is an expert at the journey that a female executive will take. But these are tips that apply men or women. If you're a human being, if you're a robot, maybe not. Okay. And we have to be concerned about that at the end of days ahead. But as society still exists, as men and women, the pointers are still equally applicable. So I just want to point that out. Maybe you could tell us about your role at the Wall Street Journal presently.
Sure. I'm the management news editor at the Wall Street Journal. I'm also a career columnist. I do a monthly column called Your Executive Career, and it basically gives advice to ambitious executives or executive wannabes. In my role as management news editor, I'm mostly doing reporting and writing, but I do help coordinate some of our coverage of issues. Some of the issues that I tend to write about are corporate governance, management succession, the executive recruitment industry, and executive pay.
Now, am I like most others? I'm a daily I subscribe and read, I can't say cover to cover, but I go through the journal every single day. Obviously, Peggy Noonan is incredible, and when she has a piece, it always gets read. I would say the page with the editorials, the page right, the second from the on section A, certainly is my go-to choice every day. Am I like most?
I really wouldn't know because the editorial page is totally different from the news department. However, during my long career at the Wall Street Journal, I've written a number of first-person pieces for the op-ed page about various things that happened to me in the course of my career. At one point, for instance, I wrote a piece about the fact that I really wasn't sure I wanted to have children because I couldn't see how I could combine that with being a journalist. And this was in the 70s. At that time, my mother was a teacher, and she kept getting shut out of schools because they were shutting down for lack of children.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
I did finally have two, by the way.
Nice. Beautiful. What are their names?
Daniel and Abra.
Beautiful. Let's talk about your brand new book, Earning It. Again, this is a Harper release. It's called Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World. It's a great executive leadership book in general, but certainly for any female in the workforce that's looking to climb to the top, this is a must. It's, of course, available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and at bookstores nationwide, worldwide. So let's talk about it. First of all, at what point did you decide, I'm going to take the plunge, because writing a book takes a lot of time?
Absolutely. And this was a very long journey, speaking of journeys. It grew out of a first-person essay that I wrote for a journal blog that no longer exists called Journal Women back in 2008. My piece was called Remember the Barriers, and it was basically written to offer some insights to my 20-something daughter about what it had been like joining the workforce as a female journalist and some of the encounters I had that related to gender bias. I got a huge amount of response from women of all walks of life who had much more hair-raising tales than I did, one of which actually made its way into the book. A woman who was traveling for business several decades ago, riding first class, getting on a plane at LaGuardia, and as she's putting her bag up overhead, having a male passenger ask her to hang up his coat because he thought she was the flight attendant. He said, "You're not the flight attendant." She said, "No, I'm not." But at the same time, I had interviewed and written about a number of female executives during the course of my career of writing about management issues. So the combination of wanting to sort of share lessons learned, as well as finding out how did these really senior level executive women not only deal with career setbacks, but become better leaders from those setbacks, was kind of the genesis for the book.
Now, again, my guest this evening is Joanne Lublin. Her new book is Earning It and discusses the hard-won lessons from trailblazing women at the top of the business world. Let's jump right in terms of what would you say are the two or the most successful leadership traits exhibited by female corporate executives?
Well, I cannot generalize to the entire universe, but I can certainly speak from the ones I interviewed for the book. At the end of the day, I talked to 52 highly experienced corporate executives, nearly two-thirds of whom have been or are public company CEOs. Lots of companies that we've all heard of, IBM, Hewlett-Packard, General Motors, Mondelez, Campbell Soup. And those who were the most successful, I found, had two leadership traits in common. One was resilience, the ability to bounce back from a bad turn in their career, which everyone has experienced, men and women alike. And the second trait was related to that, and that's persistence. They were very focused when they had a goal in mind of making sure that they got the task done and had got the task done well. Again, despite, in some cases, some pretty formidable odds. Mm.
And, of course, you have many examples about this in the
book. Dozens.
Any particular story you wish to share?
Well, I think there's just lots of stories like this. I think one of the more telling one is the Ellen Cullman story, who was a rising star at DuPont, ultimately did become its chief executive, and at one point in her career was running a multi-billion dollar P&L, you know, a manufacturing operation, had thousands of employees. It was making a pigment that's used in paint. And the CEO asked her to start a totally new business for the company, safety consulting. Not something they'd ever done before. It was going to take DuPont into areas that, frankly, they didn't really know anything about. And she asked the CEO when he presented this proposition, well, how many people will I have reporting to me? You know,
what's my team?
What's my team? You know, what are the resources? What will I get to get this going? And he basically said, it's up to you to figure out. He made no commitment to her as to, you know, whether this would work or what he would do to make it work. And so she consulted a lot of people within the company, including her husband, who worked for DuPont at the time. Most of the people she asked were male colleagues, because that's who were there. Mm-hmm. And every single one told her she should turn it down, that this was, you know, not something that would be good. But she is very persistent in terms of not walking away from a risky situation. And so she lost sleep for a couple nights. She went back to the CEO more than once to sort of understand better. And at one point, she said to him, you know, I need a get out of jail free card, which, frankly, at the end of the day, if you're going to take a risky assignment, even if you're going to be persistent on trying to make it work, is a really good strategy. And so he promised her that if 6 months into launching this new business, it wasn't taking off, he would give her a lateral move to something comparable elsewhere within the company. She ran that business for several years. It was a huge success. She was asked later to do a similar venture, starting once again something new. And as I say, the rest is history. She succeeded that man as chief executive.
Wow. We're going to take a short commercial break. You're tuned to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Again, you can follow me on Twitter, YSAFTLAS, YSAFTLAS. That's usually where we announce, along with the other social media avenues, we announce who our upcoming guests will be. Yitzhak Saftlis here. You can follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and of course, Twitter. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the risky assignments. My guest this evening is Joanne Lublin. She wrote the new book, Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World. Also, I want to announce that she, together with Harper, is gracious. We are going to be giving away a free copy to a lucky listener. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win a copy of Joanne's new book, Earning It. All you have to do is send a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how TeamAhead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroch Saftless right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Joanne Lublin. She wrote the new book, Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World. It's a Harper release. It's available by going to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and bookstores nationwide, worldwide, actually. Again, one lucky winner is going to win it for free. All you have to do is send a text to 66866. Put in the word bottom line as one word and you're automatically entered. But that's just for one lucky listener. You could still be lucky by going and buying it. It's a fantastic book. Certainly for any woman looking to get rise to the top, this is the book. This is the blueprint. But it has incredible content for men and women as well. In fact, I'm going to jump to one story that I found interesting as a marketing executive. Okay, on page 211, you talk about appearance matters. And you have a quote here from Beth Mooney, a chief executive at KeyCorp. Okay, it's at the bottom.
The very first woman ever to run a major financial services institution in this country.
Wow.
Still true today. She's still CEO.
Wow. And you have a quote there. Always dress like you're going to the president's office. I love it. End the story. Should I say it over or would you like to?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, she was called into the president's office, and actually it says it over here, so it's really not, it, you know, it would seem to be a little sensitive information, but she was called in on a certain matter about a transaction that she had approved that had gone sour.
At a different bank,
correct. I thank you for clarifying that. And at this other bank, she was called into the president's office, and she was dressed in a way that I wouldn't say it was inappropriate, but just was just not, you know, it was not befitting maybe the corporate banking industry. Is that fair, Joanne?
I would say so. She certainly would.
Yeah. Okay. And the president, you know, asked her about the loan, and she responded, and it was perhaps a bit of an uncomfortable conversation. And then when she turned around to leave, So the president said, "My, we're colorful today." She was dressed in a colorful outfit.
It was a multi-hued dress with very stark, bold lines. It kind of resembled a Mondrian painting.
Now, fast forward, she was then called into her manager's office. I don't know if it was later in the day or later in the week.
Same day.
Mm-hmm. And there was, so she figured, oh no, you know, it's going to be about the loan and about the clothing. And no, but the boss said, "You made the loan. What I'm going to judge you on is what you're going to do from this point on." So he didn't even address the clothing. But she realized in her mind that, and she, I quote her, "Why do I have this outfit on? What was I thinking?" Now, let's talk about
that. But, of course, when she put the dress on that morning, she didn't think she was going to be called into the president's office.
And that's why I come back to that quote. Always dress like you're going to the president's office. Now, this has nothing to do with just a female rising to the top.
It's of course not.
A man or a woman. What's great about this book is it has real, live stories, interactions from what goes on in the real business world. A person has to always dress for success.
And I thought Denise Morrison had a great quote about that,
please.
Too. Denise, of course, is the chief executive of Campbell Soup, which is a master of packaging. And she says in the leadership lessons at the end of that particular chapter about the fact that if you are not crisply dressed, quote, and you are standing next to the guy in the crisp suit, you don't stand a chance, Denise said. And then she added, people are human. They are going to respond to packaging.
That's great.
And that Campbell knows that very well.
That's right. So important. And it's unfortunately violated so frequently, and they don't realize to a person's own detriment. I mean, in fact, I have to remind the listeners, one of a really fantastic interview we had, and it's available by going to wabcbizradio.com, was with Sylvia DiGisto. She's an executive image consultant, and she has a book on that, and she talks about that and the importance of the basics, and the basics that are violated so frequently, and people just don't realize that. At the end of the day, yes, there's social media and there's, but hey, we're humans. We interact the way we interact, the way we've always interacted since the beginning of time, and the way we will always continue to interact. And if a person does not dress appropriately or is not presentable, the odds are stacked against them. That's just the way it is. Let's move on. Let's go back to the female leadership role. Before the break, we touched on, and I really want to hold on to this because it's such a great subject, and that is the importance for ambitious managers to take on risky assignments. And I just want to still add a little bit more fuel to that. We all know if someone's taking on something risky, there's a chance of failure, and people fear failure. Okay. Yet at the same time, those that are gutsy and take calculated risk, I'm not talking about
jumping off the cliff.
Yeah, jumping off the cliff and doing stuff that just does not make any sense. But calculated risks, why is it important for ambitious managers to take risky assignments?
Because it's how you get to show your stuff. And if I might, I'd like to share a relevant story from the book.
Sure.
It involved Dawn Lepore, who ultimately became chief executive of drugstore.com. Mm-hmm. This is a woman who never really expected to go into business. She was a music major. But luckily, when she got out of college, there wasn't a lot of demand for music majors. And so she ended up going into the whole computer arena. She, in her 20s, joined Charles Schwab Corporation as a manager in the information center and for this investment brokerage. She had an ambition to become someday the chief information officer, which was a huge role. It was running all of the information technology operations for the company. She, like many people, and women especially, had a fear in her mind that this voice kept telling her, "I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can never do that. I can never do that. I'm a music major. I don't have the background." But yet she finally decided she should at least try. And what happened was she became a vice president when a new chief information officer arrived, and She essentially watched how he operated and tried to learn from him. And within a year, she got promoted to a senior vice presidency, and this CIO began grooming her as his possible successor. But the point was, she had no idea how soon he would leave. And so she needed to prove she could take on a risky assignment and succeed. And this happened a few years later. Schwab was getting ready to install a new generation of technology for the entire company. They were looking for somebody to run this rather risky project. Right. Guess how many people raised their hand? None. Okay. People were saying, we don't need to change our system. It won't work. We have everything we need. She raised her hand, and she thought that that would then strengthen her chances to become chief information officer. And so what she said to me is, you had to be able to show you could take on something you didn't know anything about. Perhaps you should call it courage or naivete or stupidity, but I took on the project. And the project, this new technology initiative, was making some progress when the chief information officer retired in 1994.
Wow.
At that point, she was 39 years old and believes her willingness to take that risky assignment was the main reason that she got the plum position. In fact, higher level people in the company told her that.
Wow. So she got herself onto the radar screen and got the attention of others, and that she was able to take on something gutsy and be successful with it.
Exactly.
Now here's this is a general question, but we'll ask it anyways. Is there a certain commonality that you, from your incredible amount of research and years of studying the subject, that you would find a common denominator between successful female executives?
Well, I think the common denominator...
And I know you addressed it earlier.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
But... No, but I think the common denominator is that they believe in themselves at the end of the day. A lot of us, men and women alike, suffer from what's called the imposter syndrome,
yes,
the thing you heard Dawn Lepore talking about, which is you've got this little voice in your head that says, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you don't have the experience, you're not talented, you've been at home with your children for 10 years, nobody will ever want to hire you, you got laid off from your last job, you're a loser. And so these women figured out ways to have another voice in their head. And men obviously do that very successfully. And the larger voice overcomes the imposter syndrome voice. And it says, you are good. You're better than you think. And all you have to do is show your stuff.
Now, here's a question. Just do you recommend or have you seen positive results from certain, whether it's Jack Canfield or many other successful, motivational speakers? Is that important for men or women in general? And then the reason why I bring that up, because of the imposter syndrome. You know, if someone has it in their head, I can't do it, I'm never going to be successful, etc. How important is it to perhaps, and I'm not saying him in particular, I'm saying in general, that industry, the Brian Tracys, you know, these people.
Well, obviously they must be selling something that people want because there are a lot of them doing it.
Right.
I think there's a fair amount of good advice being given out there. I think there's also a fair amount of snake oil being sold. And you need to know how to separate the wheat from the chaff before you put down your money.
Got you. It's interesting. One of the very successful female executives that we had on the show was Linda Kaplan Thaler. She ran Publicis, an 800-person agency, ad agency. She actually wrote a book, Grit to Great, about being gritty. And
I read her book and quoted her in a column I wrote about,
really?
Can you be too gritty for your own good?
Cute title. I just want to remind the audience, her interview, I believe, was also videoed. Yeah, it was videoed, and it's up on WABCBizRadio.com. She added a lot of great information. She talked about the creation of the Toys R Us campaign, et cetera. She was a very successful female executive.
And that campaign was one where you needed a lot of persistence.
Yes. And she talked about that on the show. You know, it's fascinating that the concepts that you're sharing here, if I think about and actually go back and listen to the show, she certainly was wired that way. Persistence, she talks about, I mean, being gritty, you got to be persistent. You got to just keep on hammering away. But she even talked about getting rejected by clients,
right,
when she knew she had a great winning concept. And in fact, she talked about a major, the Aflac campaign. And she had a great story that, because now, you know, everyone knows the famous Aflac, you know, that thing. How in the world was she able to sell that campaign and for them to take it seriously? And she talked about it on this program.
And in her book.
And in her book. Now, here's another great topic you talk about. And I quote, you won't get ahead mid-career unless you're ready to put your career on the line. I love it. Could you elaborate?
Well, what I'm saying there is back to the theme of taking chances, taking risks. That means you have to be willing somewhat to go out on a limb, perhaps not only take on a risky assignment, but take on a role where you don't know everything going into the game. Many of these senior level executive women that I interviewed expressed frustration at their inability to get women lower levels than them in their companies to take on new roles or promotions, because the women would say, well, I only know how to do 5 of the 10 things that the job requires. So they're looking at the glass as being half full. The male candidate for the same position would say, guess what? I already know how to do half the job. You know, when do I start? And so these women are trying to educate rising stars who maybe aren't confident enough to recognize the fact you don't know how, do not need to know how to do everything before you start the new job. And frankly, you have to be willing to put something on the line here in terms of getting out of your comfort zone, or else you're never going to learn and you're never going to get advance.
The voice that you hear is that of Joanne S. Lublin of the Wall Street Journal. Her new book, Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World, is available at bookstores worldwide, and certainly online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. One lucky listener, and again, it's a HarperCollins release, a Harper Business release. The book is available, of course, as we said, but one lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do to enter this giveaway is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business Show with Yusuf Saftos right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500 or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzchok Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening, Joanne S. Lublin of the Wall Street Journal. Her new book, Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World. It's available at bookstores worldwide and, of course, online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, etc. Again, want to remind the listeners, one lucky listener is going to win it by sending a text to 66866. That's all you have to do. Put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win the copy of this book. Joanne, let's talk about communication. Are there any notable differences in the way men communicate and the way women communicate? Or something that you would point out that is unique?
I'm not sure one can generalize, given my small sample, but certainly one of the other common leadership traits I saw in many of the women that I interviewed was empathy. And obviously, if you are empathetic, if you can walk in the shoes of the person that you are dealing with, whether it's a customer or a staffer, you're going to be able to communicate better. A number of these women also early in their careers, as well as later in their careers, encountered resistance from men who were not very happy about having a woman as a boss. And so they had to figure out ways to communicate that would end up being a win-win situation for them and for the men involved. Now, if I were to write a similar book about 52 high-ranking corporate male executives, I suspect I would find a fair number of examples of that as well. But at the end of the day, I do think that companies are coming to put greater emphasis on empathetic leadership, and male and female leaders alike are trying to be more empathetic.
Excellent point. Certainly, like you pointed out, the traits, let's say, about being empathetic is critical for a woman or a man. But certainly when a woman is in that situation where she is the CEO, the CMO, the CIO, whatever the case is, and she's in that leadership position, to be sensitive to that I don't want to say elephant in the room, but that unspoken sensitivity, and then to deal with it successfully, is a real feather in the cap.
And that isn't something you're just born with. It's something that grows out of experience. And if I might share another story, I'd like to tell you about Ann Stevens. She was a very high-ranking executive at Ford Motor. Mm-hmm. This is a woman who had dropped out of nursing school.
Wow.
Had two children and was already 30 years old before she got a college degree in mechanical and materials engineering. And she told me that she has had men cry in her office. And I was like, really? Well, tell me a story about this. So in 2004, she was group vice president for Canada, Mexico, and South America at Ford. She had a man on her executive team who is a divorced father. Mm-hmm. And he came into her office one day, and she chided him because he had missed a work deadline. The man started crying. Number one, the man said to her, I'm disappointed in myself. And number two, I don't want to disappoint you. And number three, I am in overload in my personal situation. He had trouble arriving on time for her early morning staff meetings because, as a single father, had to drop his children off at school. She immediately identified with his distress as the mother of two. Sit down, she said. This isn't a big deal. Listen, instead of starting the meeting at 8 o'clock, I can start the meeting at 10. He was very grateful. His performance soon improved. And she said she recognized that sometimes when you're under stress, you're not going to be at your best. And frankly, showing that kind of empathetic leadership paid off for her. She was later promoted to chief operating officer at Ford for all the Americas, which at that time made her the highest ranking woman in the U.S. automotive industry, and was recruited from Ford to be CEO of Carpenter Technology in 2006.
Wow. Wow. What a story. What a story. Let's talk about the all-important subject that you dedicate and devote quite some space to in your book, and that is how a woman can successfully negotiate fair compensation for, you know, based on her talents, based on her skill set. But how could she, what are the secrets and the tips that you would share on that subject?
Well, I think at the end of the day, and that chapter, like all the core chapters in the book, has a whole bunch of leadership lessons at the end that give you advice as to how to make whatever that topic was true and better for you. But I think at the end of the day, the remedy to the pay disparity for women is going in prepared, is knowing what it is, not only the position you are negotiating for, or the promotion you're negotiating for is currently paid, knowing what people who previously were in that job did and got paid, finding out what people in a similar job in other companies are making, and even more important, looking at other departments in your own company where perhaps the title is not the same, but the role is the same. And so the whole idea here is you do your homework, not something advice I ever personally followed to, you know, in hindsight, my
well, man, some people at the Wall Street Journal might be listening.
I've been very well compensated, but okay. I've never gone out of my way to try and find out whether I am under or overcompensated compared to my colleagues.
Which is beautiful. You're happy.
I am happy, but it doesn't mean I shouldn't have followed my own advice sooner in my career.
Now, let's address the delicate point that would come up, is that what would you say is an example of a female executive that you would say, okay, follow this guidance, but don't go over the line? I mean, don't come marching in and saying, huh, you know, this is what, do you address that? And what tips would you say on that point?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you need to have yourself well-armed, whether it's data or other examples of people who've had this kind of particular compensation arrangement. And frankly, data defeats emotions, you know, very well. There are some executives that I quote in that chapter, you know, who found out, who wanted, for instance, to be a commuter arrangement. And they weren't sure anyone had ever done this before, been a commuter executive, because they didn't want to geographically relocate. But frankly, if they could point to other men and women who are already doing it, it strengthened their case. So the idea is to use data, not tears.
I hear. And it shouldn't just go with emotion.
Right.
But yet, at the same time, of course, presented very human, obviously.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously.
Absolutely.
Now, are there any particular role models or examples for the youth, for the millennials in the workforce that you would recommend? Say, these are great examples.
Well, I think one of the best examples for millennials in the workforce is the youngest woman that I interviewed for the book. She was 33 at the time I interviewed her, a woman named Clara Shi. She became a member of the Starbucks board of directors when she was 29.
Wow.
Wow. She co-founded a company called Hearsay Social. She's written several books already, way ahead of me. The day I interviewed her, she was 9 months pregnant with her first child. I met with her in her headquarters of her startup. And I said to her, what is your maternity leave policy? She said, well, you know, the company is so young that we didn't have one until I got pregnant. So I created a task force. And I said, I hope you weren't on it. She said, no, I'm not on it. They came back and recommended we have a 6-month paid leave policy, which we've Wow. put in place. And I said, well, are you going to take it? Her baby was due within 2 weeks of that day of that interview.
Wow.
And she said, you know, this company is my baby. I don't know if I'll be able to take off that long. I interviewed her on a Friday. Her son was born the following Tuesday. She was back at work 3 months later.
Well, that definitely shows, you know, a lot of spunk and a lot of care and a lot of, you know, her real emotions and feelings to the company, which obviously is such a critical, that's a whole nother subject, but of course.
But the other thing that's critical and important about Clara Shi's career, which is totally relevant to today's millennials, is that she found ways to make herself an attractive protege and got a very powerful sponsor, Sheryl Sandberg. So it wasn't just that she woke up one day and Starbucks called her and said, hello, we'd like you to go on our board of directors, right, even though you're 29 years old. Right. Sheryl Sandberg was leaving the board of Starbucks, had come to know and respect Claire Shi in her professional role, even though they had previously worked at the same company. They never knew each other because Sheryl was so further up in the food chain. But Sheryl put a whole bunch of names on a list when she was leaving Starbucks, and Claire was one of those.
Wow. My guest this evening is Joanne Lublin. Her new book, Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World. It's available, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores worldwide. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll finish up with a couple of questions I still want to ask Joanne. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting WebsiteWithBrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So What's the Bottom Line as a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So What's the Bottom Line is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening, Joanne Lublin, the author of Earning It. She, her accolades began actually way before the book itself. She is a star at the Wall Street Journal, won a Pulitzer Prize. She has a very long, storied, and accomplished career. And it's really a treat that she joined me here on Mind Your Business this evening. Thank you, Joanne.
You're welcome.
Really a treat. Now, you've shared in... I also want to remind the listeners that one lucky listener is going to win a copy of the book. All they have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win this book. But anyone who buys it will be very lucky. This is an incredible read. I went through parts of it already. As Joanne told me off the air, I should read it cover to cover, and she's right. And I want to mention something that I mentioned at the top of the show. Even though the subtitle of the book is Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World, this applies for men or women. In fact, I would even add that the fact that it focuses from the women vantage point has the added angle of characteristics that the women excel at, empathy and persistence and et cetera. And therefore, there'll be an additional benefit even for men executives to have as takeaways from this book. Now, at the top of the show, or in the previous 45 minutes or so, you shared some incredible stories of women who rose to the top, that were gutsy, took on challenging assignments. Perhaps you could share some other lessons on climbing the corporate ladder.
Well, what particular lesson would you like to hear more about?
Well, okay, the way I look at it is that the way actually my mind is wired is I love looking at point A, point B. In fact, it's a great book called Start With the Answer. And that was written by an executive in the Bob Salert in the advertising world. And I always love studying, and in fact, as a marketing executive, when a client comes in to meet with me, I always say, "What is your ultimate goal? Let's describe and let's have a picture of what you're looking at as the ultimate goal, and then let's figure out the road to get there." My question, frankly, is there are CIOs, CMOs, CEOs, they're at the top. There was a journey. What is it? Is it? And obviously, it's a combination of many things: the way they dress, the way they take their career seriously, the way that they take on challenging assignments. So it's really a combination of everything. But from your vantage point as writing this book, you could really choose anything that you prefer to focus on.
Well, I think one thing that's really critical is having, as I was alluding to before, sponsors. But these sponsors are not the same as mentors. A sponsor is somebody who's willing to put their own professional reputation on the line and essentially be your advocate when it comes to getting a different position. And that is different than a mentor, who's somebody who's simply going to give you good advice. And I thought there was a really great story about how this affected Mary Barra's career at General Motors. She is now, as we know, the chief executive of that biggest U.S. auto company. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She got that job in 2014. In her case, there were people who were willing to stick their necks out on her behalf that exposed her to a role she never otherwise would have been able to get. It happened in 1997. There were several male vice presidents for whom she had worked before. Unbeknownst to her, they were lobbying privately on her behalf because they heard the chief executive and a man who was the vice chairman at the time wanted someone with operational experience, which she had, to be in a role that was called executive assistant. Now, in GM, the executive assistant to the CEO is a role that is given to rising stars. It gives them a chance to basically see how the company runs
up close,
a much broader perspective, and get exposed to a lot more of the top brass. At that time, she was pretty young and pretty low in the food chain at GM. She was 35 years old. She was a first-rung executive. She worked at their tech center in Warren, Michigan. Her team was overseeing production processes and launches at assembling plants that were building mid-sized cars. But she had no idea that she had these sponsors who were lobbying for her to become this top aide to both the CEO and the vice chairman. So one day, she came back to her desk and found a voicemail on her phone from a human resource officer, a staffer, who said, "We'd like you to come interview for that coveted position." So she figured it was a prank that some of her colleagues. And so she said to me, I'm like, ha, 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 ha. She remembered thinking to herself, okay, who's playing this joke on me? And she then, of course, found out it wasn't a joke. She interviewed for the position and she held it until 1999. It gave her incredible access to these two high-level executives at GM. And she also got to understand what the company was like on a global basis. And from there, she became a corporate vice president for the first time in 2008. And this, to her mind, was reason for her to recommend that ambitious women, and obviously men, need to find bosses who are willing to take chances on them and to sponsor them because they recognize that they have worked hard and deserve that recognition. But what she said was, if you are not working for someone that you respect as your leader, then go find a new position. And at the end of the day, you may not be in the right place at the current time.
Right, that could happen. What a great example. And as we approach the close, again, my guest this evening, Joanne Lublin, a special treat. She's one of the top reporters, if I may, at the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones, News Corporation. I mean, this is a very serious player that we have here in studio, and we work very hard to get such special high-level guests. Her new book, Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women, at the Top of the Business World is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores worldwide. One lucky listener is going to win it by going to WABCBizRadio.com. That's where you'll find the archive of this show. On WABCBizRadio.com, this show will be available along with a video. It will be up on the website. But to win the copy, only one, because everyone else will have to buy it, but it's money well spent if you're looking to be ambitious and get ahead in the business world. Send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and send it. That's it. Just send a text, 66866, put in the word bottom line, and you automatically entered to win it. Before I get to the final question, just to remind the listeners that John Basher is up next after the news at the top of the hour. Joanne, I can't thank you enough for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Really, it was a real treat, a great interview. What final takeaway, it could be anything, you would like to share with the audience of Mind Your Business?
I guess my final takeaway would be don't give up, try harder, and you will keep earning it.
Amazing. That was Joanne S. Lublin. Again, her book, Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World. It is a Harper Business release. Fantastic book. Joanne, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that brings another great edition of Mind Your Business to a close. Tune in again next Sunday evening at 11 p.m. for another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.